We'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, and reading down through verse 4. Hebrews chapter 5, let's begin reading in verse 1 and read down through verse 4. The Bible says, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." Now this follows the last three verses of Hebrews chapter 4. And in the last verses of Hebrews chapter 4, he talks about Jesus being the great high priest and how that as the high priest, Jesus can relate to our predicament as human beings because Jesus became a man. So this book presents Jesus as the great high priest, and it's doubtful that we can appreciate this office as much as Jews in Bible times did. Because in Bible times, the high priest was a very important person. But still, the more we read this book, the better we'll understand the role of this man and what it means for Jesus to be the great high priest. Now, in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible shows that a high priest was a man just like everybody else. Every high priest, he says, was taken from among men. Not just any group of men, and not just any man could be a high priest. As a matter of fact, not just anybody could be a priest in Israel. You had to come from the tribe of Levi. You had to be a descendant of Levi, or you were not authorized to be a priest under the law of Moses. And to be high priest, you not only had to descend from Levi, but you had to be a descendant of Aaron. So he's saying here that a high priest is taken from men. He's a man. He's a man that can relate to other people, just like Jesus, being the high priest, can sympathize with our condition. Any high priest in Israel had to be taken from men for that very reason. And the Bible says that a high priest was ordained, that is, he was appointed for men. He's taken from among men, and he is appointed in that position for men. The high priest stood between men and God. He was an intercessor. People approached God through the high priest with their sacrifices. And the high priest, of course, took those sacrifices, especially on the Day of Atonement, and he offered for himself and for the sins of the people. So the Bible says that a high priest was ordained for men in things pertaining to God so that he can offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. So there were many other priests in Israel, but there was only one high priest. He was a leading figure. And he was the only man that could enter into that most holy place, and he could only do that one day out of the year. Now, a high priest was a man who was supposed to have mercy on people because he was a man himself, and in being a man himself, he had trials as well. Look at verse 2. The Bible says that a high priest is one who can have compassion on the ignorant. Now, it's interesting that the law of Moses recognized that people sometimes sin out of ignorance. You read about that in detail in Leviticus chapter 4. That was not an excuse. That didn't give the people the right to sin and just say, "Well, I didn't know," because they were held accountable. They did have to offer a sacrifice. But the Bible at the same time does make a difference. It does distinguish between sins of ignorance and what the Bible refers to as presumptuous sins. That is, literally, sinning with a high hand. Sinning deliberately and intentionally. So there should be a difference also in how we deal with a person who, on the one hand, is rebellious, and a person, on the other hand, who doesn't know any better. A person who is ignorant needs to be taught. And so it's somewhat natural and right when you're dealing with someone that doesn't know any better to be compassionate. And that ought to have come naturally to the high priest especially. And when we talk about having compassion on someone, I believe that this at least is involved in what we read in the book of Jude. In the book of Jude, verses 22 and 23, Jude is talking about how we deal with different groups of people. And he says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." That evidently, or at least primarily, would involve people that don't know any better. Have compassion on them, make a difference in their case. But on the other hand, he says in verse 23, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." So with them, you have to take a more assertive approach. But getting back to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible says that a high priest was to have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. Those two descriptions seem to describe the same group of people. These people have gone out of the way. They have erred. They have strayed away. And the reason is because of their ignorance primarily. So sometimes people make a deliberate decision to go astray, and others don't plan on it, but they get caught up in sin before they know it. And that, by the way, is what Galatians 6, verse 1 is about when he says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," to be overtaken in a fault means to get caught up in a sin before you really realize what is taking place. And so it's just the opposite of a man that meditates on it, and so he deliberately plans to get involved in it. So the high priest was to have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. And he gives the reason here as to why and how the high priest was to have compassion on sinners. It's because, he says, "For that he himself," the high priest himself, "also is compassed with infirmity." And the word "compassed" there means surrounded with infirmity. The word "infirmity" here means weakness. Remember that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, as he was warning the disciples, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And so the high priest was never to be arrogant. He was never to look at other men as being sinners, but not himself. Sadly, Jewish leaders did not have the compassion that they should have had oftentimes. As a matter of fact, Jewish leaders didn't see themselves as needing the mercy of God like they should have. They saw themselves as being above other people. In Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, you read about the story of the Pharisee and the publican that went to the temple to pray. And it was obvious that the Pharisee didn't think that he needed any grace from God. In John 7, 45 through 49, the Bible shows the attitude that the chief priest had toward, as we would say, the common people. They said, "These people that don't know the law are cursed." In other words, we're the only ones that really understand the law and what it means. So they saw themselves not as being on the same level as the people, but as being above the people. So God intended for the high priest to remember that he was human too, that he made mistakes. And that is why the Bible says in verse 3 that the high priest not only had to offer sacrifices for the people's sins, he had to offer sacrifices for himself. Verse 3 says, "And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins." Now that means that if a high priest really thought about what he was doing, when he made that sacrifice, he would have to admit that he was a sinner just like the rest of the people. And again, sadly, many of those Jewish leaders did not admit that. But that doesn't take away the fact that God intended for them to always be humble. In verse 4, the Bible shows what a great honor it was to be the high priest. Verse 4 says, "And no man taketh this honor, the honor of being a high priest, unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." The high priest was to be a good example to the people. He was to be a leader of spirituality. He was to be a man of God. What an honor that was. But not just anybody could have that position. As we've already said, in order for a man to be a priest under the law of Moses, he had to come from the tribe of Levi. People from other tribes could not be priests with God's permission. But not only did he have to come from the tribe of Levi, he had to descend from Aaron, because God chose Aaron and his sons to serve in that role. This is what God said back in Exodus chapter 28. So what was this being called of God? He says, no man takes this honor, that is the honor of being a high priest, to himself. No man can just say, well, I want to be the high priest. Not just any man could do that, because it all went back to Aaron. So what was this being called of God? The Bible says that no man takes this honor to himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Well, in Aaron's case, God spoke directly. God named Aaron as the high priest. And from then on, the high priest had to come from Aaron's line. When the book of Hebrews was written, there was a high priest, and he came through that bloodline. So Aaron didn't promote himself. Aaron did not name himself to be the high priest. Only God could do that. And in the same way, neither did Jesus Christ promote himself to be the high priest. God the Father named him as the high priest. That's what the contrast is here in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Now, I've got a particular reason why I'm bringing this out. And that is, this verse in Hebrews 5, verse 4, is about the high priest in the nation of Israel. It is not a verse about preachers. You see, some say that a preacher has to receive a special call to preach, and they misuse this verse to try to prove it. Sometimes people will ask a preacher, well, have you been called to preach, though? Because Hebrews 5, verse 4 says that no man takes this honor to himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Well, the whole fact about it, folks, is this. Hebrews 5, verse 4 has nothing to do with a preacher. It is not about a preacher being called. It is not even about a preacher, period. This is about the high priest of Israel. And besides that, the other problem is, who can say what this calling is? Is it a feeling? Is it a voice? You see, the Bible says that God speaks to all of us in the same way today, because the faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the New Testament, has been once for all delivered to the saints, Jude verse 3. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The bottom line is, preachers are called just like every other Christian. We are called by the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 14, the Bible says he calls you by our gospel. And that gospel says to go and preach the gospel and to teach all nations, Mark 16, 15, and Matthew 28, verse 18. So here again, when we look at this verse, we see what happens when a person takes a verse out of its context.